to worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. If we say that we know Him, but we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. In the light, He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Well, good morning, friends. How's everybody doing this morning? A little bit of a change-up going on for me here as we are moving our offices up in Bangor out of our current facility. We're making some adjustments and changes, and I am broadcasting from a different location today as we begin to morph into this place. Actually, it's in my home. Just want you to know that. It'll be my kind of permanent, more permanent type office for me as we create a shared office space in Augusta as we move our administrative offices there. So we're making some changes. So please pardon the dust and the appearance and the mess of just stuff moving around here. You might say, I don't see anything wrong. It's just little things for me that I'm aware of, that I'm looking at here. But that's why it looks different, is we're making changes and excited about that. Hopefully you had a great Easter and a great time of worship yesterday, where whatever church you were at, and that it was, you were enriched in every way. I hope that yesterday you heard the Lord saying your name. I think it's just that one phrase, you know, to hear the Lord say your name and to call out to you and to draw you into relationship with Jesus. What an incredible thing to have happen in your life. And so it's my prayer. It was a rich day for you. We had our family around a good chunk of the day. Our youngest, Cameron, I was here at our house, and we were working on his boat and working on some different he's helping us move around a few things. And then our other kids all showed up last night. We had a fantastic dinner together and played Clue and prayed together, all those things. So I hope your day was a splendid day yesterday as well. We are all the way over in the book of Luke, chapter 24. There's not 28 chapters in the book of Luke. And we're going to jump right in there now. And some of this will be review for yesterday, actually, at your worship service, wherever you went. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, again, there are different renderings here. We were in, what was he in yesterday? John, I think, I talked about, yes, it was John, Mary Magdalene going by herself. This says the women took. Well, you put some of it together. Mary was one of the women. She may have went first, then she got Peter and John, and then other women came. There's different perspectives here. It's kind of like when you see a traffic accident. If you had four people on four different corners of an intersection, they would all likely have slightly different variations to the situation, to just what happened in the accident. And so you have the same thing in the gospel writers, different perspectives that are given, different thoughts, different renderings. The conclusion is the same, though. What happened is the same. And so whether it's the women or a woman, the conclusion is absolutely the same as we see here. The women took the spices they'd prepared. They had to prepare the body for burial. So they took the spices they prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So putting these two things together, so was it a woman? Was it multiple women? Maybe it's the case that the women went together, and when the women went together, they went back, and then Mary's the one that went back with them. Or the women went, and then Mary stayed. This is one of these areas where someone called, see, the Bible contradicts. Well, the Bible doesn't contradict. It's telling different stories, different perspectives of the story here, if you're following along with me. And I only bring this up because it's something that some people would point to and say, well, here's the problem. It's, you know, they didn't, the problem is that they, see, they can't even get the story straight. Well, the story's still straight. Bottom line is in verse 2, the stone has been rolled away. That is the primary thing. The stone has been rolled away. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus there. Doesn't change the story at all. The stone's rolled away. The body of Jesus is not there. And it says, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. We know these to be angels. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said, why do you look for the living among the dead? You know, and that's one of the things as I talk about going to Israel. And sometimes in this, well, I love many of my Catholic brothers and sisters. Well, I love my Catholic brothers and sisters. This is one of the areas where I do maybe part ways. There's a lot of looking for the living among the dead. This is one of the things that sometimes, if I have any Catholic friend listening, that sometimes the Protestants will say, well, you guys leave Jesus on the cross. Well, and I used to be one of those people. You leave Jesus on the cross, you know, and he's not on the cross anymore. Had to go to the cross, so I'm kind of at a different spot that, okay, Jesus on the cross, he went there, but let's look at Jesus not in the empty tomb, because he left the empty tomb. He is no longer in the empty tomb, and what does that matter to us? Well, what it matters to us is just simply the fact that that now we have a risen Savior, and we have eternal life, and we have evidence, we have proof. But some people still go about mourning like Jesus is still dead. He's not dead. He is alive. And let's hold on to that truth. Now, let me come back and bring another positive perspective, though, to those of my Catholic friends. They very much think about the sacrifices that the Lord made for us and the ultimate sacrifice of his life, sometimes more than we Protestants do. They are much more spiritually aware at times of just exactly what Jesus went through. I mean, they on their Good Friday, they think of the seven stations of the cross and or the nine stations. It depends. There's different traditions. Some say seven, some say nine. You know, most of it is made up in oral tradition anyway, except for the key details of the trial and where the trial took place. We know where that was. Key detail of the path that Jesus took. Well, the Via Dolorosa may or may not actually have been the right path because of the location of where the crucifixion took place. Did it take place where I had a video I posted tonight? Did it take place there? Did it take place at a different location? I tend to think it took place at a different location, actually. So the Via Dolorosa that you would go and see today may in fact not be the case. But fact is, he walked from the trial. He carried his cross from the trial to Golgotha. And at Golgotha, he was nailed to the cross. The cross was lowered into the ground. He did die. It is a fact. He was buried in the newly cut tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Those are facts. Those things are the same. And we have to remember those things. And for us to come back and think through, as our sometimes our Catholic or more liturgical brethren, maybe even Protestant, but liturgical brethren. My son and daughter and son-in-law were here last night, and they went to a Maundy Thursday service. They went to a Good Friday service. And then they went to went to their Easter service. Three things, and they're not Catholic at all. Those were all things of which our dear friends at Christ the King Church participated in. I think it's wonderful. I was very, very glad for their participation. Let's come back to the text, though. So here we go. They found the stone rolled away. When they entered, did not find the body of Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. I mean, very, very white, bright white clothes. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" And that's kind of where we left off. "He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in the Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." To me, it is significant that it brings up the fact that he speaks about that they speak about the Galilee here. To me, it's just very, very interesting that they go all the way back to the Galilee and speak of the Galilee and Jesus saying these words. Now, actually, Jesus said these words on at least three different occasions to them and told them that the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again to life. He told them that on at least three different occasions. He is risen. It says, after the angels said these words to them, they remembered his words. They remembered the words of Jesus. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. So they were the 11. Why 11? Judas is no longer in the picture. We know from the other Gospels, Judas will go and take his life. So that's why there are the 11 and all the others, maybe up to 120, who were all gathered together. And it tells us it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Now, why is it important that we get the detail of who went? Because It isn't just saying some people. It's giving specifics. And in giving the specifics, it isn't just a generality. It isn't just a, well, some people thought that they, no, it's actually the fact that Jesus was alive, and these are the people, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with him. Now, who is Mary, the mother of James? Well, James is the brother of Jesus, so... And I don't know why Luke didn't put Mary, the mother of Jesus. He could have put Mary, the mother of Jesus, but he put Mary, the mother of James, into his record, perhaps because James was one among them now in the crowd of the 120. And maybe perhaps that is why Luke references James. James was regarded now, had become, will become in the midst of these days, the leader of the church. James, the brother of Jesus, will become the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Not just because he was Jesus' brother, but because he was a follower and one whom the others respected. It says they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense. I mean, they were giddy, excited, you know, just so giddy, so over the top. Everybody's going, you're so wound up. What were you smoking? I mean, that could be the type of case. What were you smoking? What are you doing? Why? What's going on here? And, but it says they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, says, and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. So here he is, wondering what happened. How can this be? Just what is the circumstance? What is the situation that has taken place here, and what does it mean? And how does it impact us? And then maybe the questions, well, who would have taken the body? Not taken, that's not a word. Taken the body. There are options. The disciples obviously didn't take the body because they didn't know where the body was. But some would say, well, the disciples took the body because they wanted to perpetuate the story. Would they die for a lie? I hardly think so. And suffer 40 years of persecution, that some of them up to 40 years would suffer persecution and beatings and burnings and oil and martyrdom at the being crucified upside down, particularly Peter being crucified upside down. That is a tradition of the death of Peter, or be beheaded, or all these other things, all for a lie. No. Peter was wondering to himself, what may have happened? It says, on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked among them. Now, one of the questions that comes out is, why did they not recognize Jesus? Well, they weren't expecting to see Jesus. That's one reality. They simply weren't expecting to see Jesus. They should have recognized him, you'd think. Well, remember, now he's in a glorified body, a body different than our own. Perhaps his features were somewhat changed through the beatings. Fact is, Jesus was walking with them, and it says in verse 16, they were kept from recognizing him. That implies a sense of maybe spiritual keeping, that they didn't recognize him because... because the Lord didn't want them to recognize him quite yet. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. These perhaps some that were not a part of that other crowd, because it says on the same day, two of them were going to a village. They apparently weren't with the crowd. Maybe that were getting the news about Jesus from Mary and Joanna and the other Mary and Peter and John. They hadn't gotten the news, so their faces are downcast. One of them, it says, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem? And do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" So that's the question that is being asked. Do you not know? Do you not understand what it is that has happened here? "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early." So apparently, yes, maybe these ones were a part of that earlier crowd, because it reveals here in the text, "In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body." So this leads us to the conclusion, actually opposite of what I just said. This is what happens when you do Bible study or you're reading the text. You learn things. You go, "Oh, well, wait, what I was thinking here just a minute ago, is it in fact the case?" Because as you keep reading, you realize that these ones knew what had happened. They maybe had been there and had heard the women. So I retract what I said earlier. But I'll just use this as a teaching opportunity for us to think about. As you read Scripture, you understand things more and more and more fully from within the text. Keep reading. Verse 22, "In addition, some women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions, Peter and John, went to the tomb, found it was just the women said, but they did not see him. He said to them," and this "he" being Jesus, as you note from the words here, "he said to them," the words in red, "he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, that the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with him. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." Remember, a glorified body. It's like, it wasn't like, "Well, I'll be leaving now." It was simply a case that he literally just disappeared from their sight. Now, some would say maybe because it was evening, it was a little bit, dusky, and so maybe that's why they didn't recognize him. Maybe it's just the Lord kept the Father, God kept them from realizing who Jesus was. They urged him, "Stay with them." He gave thanks, and when he was at the table with them, he said, "Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe." And then he gave thanks for the bread. He gave thanks, broke it to them, which was a traditional Jewish prayer. And we think it's something uncommon. It was a very common prayer, but it's the way in which it was said. And as he said it, their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Now, there's something I want to say there about opening the scriptures to us. I might not go further than in this little section. "Were not our hearts burning while he opened the scriptures to us?" They got up, returned once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it's true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now there's questions, which Simon is this? Is this the Simon Peter? Is this a different Simon? What Simon are we talking about here? Because there were a couple of different Simons who were a part of the tribe that was following, of the group that was following after Jesus. I want to talk just for a moment about Jesus speaking the word with them as they travel. There's a disciple-making principle right there. Jesus, even now, is still making disciples. He explained the scriptures on the way. Friends, we don't have to be in a church service. We don't have to be in a Sunday school class. We don't have to be in a small group Bible study somewhere to share the scriptures with people. We can share the scriptures with people anytime. That's exactly what Jesus did. He opened the scriptures and explained about who he was to them. Somewhere along the line, we got the idea, oh, well, we need to be, you know, this is something that you do at church or a Bible study or a small group or something like that. But the reality of it is, if more of us would learn how just to engage people with the scripture, I missed one on Saturday. Wendy and I were out for a date, and we had not been down to the United Farmers Market in quite a while, she and I together. And I said, let's go down to the farmers market. So we went down to the farmers market, and we got talking to a guy who makes furniture, fantastic, great furniture. You know, really, they make countertops as their primary business, but they make stools and they make other butcher block islands and all kinds of different things that they make. And he says, sit down on the stool. What would you like to talk about today? I missed an opportunity right there, partly because I'm thinking, Wendy, you're on a date. We're right in the middle. I mean, where his little booth is located is kind of right in the middle of everything. Would have been a great place maybe to get in a conversation about Jesus. So I'm thinking maybe I should go back and talk to this guy again and sit down, because his lead-in is, so what do you want to talk about? Oh, what a lead-in, and I missed it. Again, Wendy and I talked last night. Why do we not share Christ? We're given the opportunity sometimes. And to me, it was a case of, well, I'm on a date with my wife, but shouldn't have mattered. Sharing the gospel should have taken precedent. The guy might have been a Christian. I don't know, but I missed the opportunity. We need to be ready. Jesus modeled the readiness to share the gospel any time of the day or night, to open the scriptures. You know, you can open the scriptures at McDonald's. You can open the scriptures at Darby. You can open the scriptures at the Nautilus. You can open the scriptures at Bay Area Fitness. You can open the scriptures at Bell the Cat. I got a preview. Wendy and I got a preview of the new Bell the Cat. And just keep praying for JoJo and his crew as they try to get everything ready this week. One more week. And they're hoping to be open a week down again. So they'll be opening again. Sorry, I'm looking at my comments here and sometimes get my words mixed up a little bit as I get distracted. But another week, hope to be open there. We got the preview, and he's got a great room that you'll be able to use. I don't know if you can rent the room or reserve the room, but it's just a room if you want to have a group of people. So I'm thinking, what a great room for a weekly, you know, time in the Word, Bell the Cat, reserve that room, time of the, you know, something, be a great, great spot for things like that. But you don't have to be there. You can be out in the middle of all of it. Have your Bible open. Let's let people see us with Bibles open more frequently. Oh, what will they think of us? Well, maybe they'll think we're Christians, which is what they ought to think. In the conclusion of this, at verse 35, it says that the two men told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. Something very, very unique in the way that he broke the bread and in what he had to say to them that caused them to go, this is Jesus. Well, friends, I'm at the end of my time here this morning. We will conclude Luke chapter 24 tomorrow. May we know Jesus. May we be absolutely convinced in our hearts that he has been risen from the dead, that he is alive, that he is among us, that he is at work. May we be people who follow his example, and may we be people who open the word to others. Lord, help us to be more like Jesus. Help us to recognize you in more places. Help us to be willing to open the word in more places that more people may know about you. Lord, thank you for being the risen Christ. Be risen in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.